You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
In today's episode, Liz and I welcome Mike and Heidi to the show. Mike and Heidi are a couple from Liz's private practice who were on the brink of divorce. They were suffocating from stress and challenges related to their remarriage and stepfamily, and were spiraling downward in negative communication patterns. Together, with Liz's guidance, they put in the work, starting with themselves, and then continue to fight for their marriage instead of against each other. Their journey has been truly inspiring. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection. I'm the psychologist, Dr. Liz Hale, along with my friend, the professor, Dr. Dave Schramm. And together, we are bringing you the best we have in valid marital research, along with a few tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. Well, today it is a true honor to introduce to you a couple from my private practice, Mike and Heidi, and they're willing to publicly share their love story full of hope, heartache, breakups, and makeups, as well as their joyous marital recovery. You know, as we know, marriage is seldom a straight and steady line of ease and connection. It is often filled with highs and lows, especially in the presence of a blended family, which has been the case for this beautiful couple. Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection, Mike and Heidi.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
What a treat. So let's start from the beginning, please. What was going on in your two individual worlds when you met, please? And how long have you been together? We want to hear everything.
Go for it.
May I start? Okay. I had been divorced for a few years. Came out of a relatively long marriage. We were together about 18 years. So at that time, I was a single mom with three children still at home, just working and taking care of everybody. And life was good, but it was stressful for sure.
Hard.
And yes. Someone dared me to create a profile on a dating site for a week. And lo and behold, I matched up with Mike here.
Yep. How about that?
I had been divorced for approximately 10 years at that point. A single father of my daughter. I just have one child. I was just dating. I was kind of waiting until Ava got out to be 18 before anything serious. But met Heidi, and that kind of changed everything from our first date on.
Besides her beauty, what struck you about Heidi, Mike?
Oh, kind, sincere, honest, trustworthy. I mean, just super sweet.
Yeah. And what attracted you to Mike, Heidi, besides his good looks as well?
Oh, I thought he was hilarious. Still do. And so intelligent, which I thought was extremely attractive. Just driven and ambitious and a really good father to his daughter. So all of those things helped a lot.
Yeah, it's lovely. And so you had five children together then. Heidi, you had four. Mike, you had one. How did your five kids react to your decision to become this exclusive couple? And if you had to do it all over again, is there anything you would do differently?
They were not excited, to put it mildly.
Hers weren't. Mine was excited to have some brothers and sisters being just, singular.
She's an only child.
Yeah, so she was super excited, but...
Mine, not so much. Yeah, they just thought, here's this male figure in our life that all of a sudden wants to have some rules and boundaries. That
structure.
Structure. That's a good word. Structure that mom was not very good with on my own. It was not one of my top skill sets for sure. And so it caused a lot of chaos, to say the least.
I can imagine. So you moved from one part of the valley to another. You moved up to Park City, as I remember, as a family. How many of you moved to Park City?
So it was me and then my two youngest children, who were 16 and 13 at the time.
Yeah.
So
it was mainly the four of you, and then your daughter would come back and forth. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much half the time.
So what was, just tell us a little bit about what those early years were like. How'd the kids adjust to a new school, a new home? Were those the tough years, the toughest years, would you say?
Yeah, those were the toughest years for sure. We tried to make it easy on them, but the oldest daughter at the house was kind of pushing away, rebellious, doing everything she could, just to kind of push away. The boy, the youngest, was getting into tune with what was going on. I mean, he was doing his own thing, and he liked the schools up there. He missed his friends, but that kind of faded away over time, made a whole new group of friends up in Park City. And then my daughter would come and go, every other weekend, and then a bunch of days during the week. I think when she was there, it seemed like things were good. And then, we were dealing with teenagers, which made everything even that much more fun. So we had two 13-year-olds and a 16-year-old in the house. So her youngest and my only are the pretty much the same age, same grade, same everything. So.
Yeah. And the hardest part, Mike, was the kids didn't like your strict rules.
They didn't like rules at all.
They didn't like rules.
Whether they were strict or not, they did not like rules. They did not like any form of supervision or anything. They just discipline. I mean, there wasn't that much discipline, but they just didn't like structure. Let's say, like, hey, bedtime's 10 p.m. upstairs in your room by 9. Take a shower, read for 30 minutes. Well, why do I need to read? Why do I need to go to school? And my daughter comes from very structured, so she's just like, you go up and check on her before 10 o'clock and she's already asleep, So it was an adjustment, and, I probably would have made, some different changes knowing what I know now.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, do you mind telling us a little bit before we go on? Let's just stick with that. What would you do differently?
I think there would have been more of a balance, more of an adjustment period.
Not so much black and white.
Yeah, not so much black and white. Not so much, hey. I think it might have been a little too much. What my normal is to what their normal is to what Heidi's normal is, and kind of blending the family. I think there should have been some more conversation in there rather than, like I say, like Heidi says, black and white. I think it would have helped things out for sure. So.
Yeah. And also what I would do differently is, I realize now, hindsight's always 20/20, how much I created to the problem instead of the solution. I was, for whatever reason, in mama bear mode. So Mike may have a rule or something, and his message were 99% correct. Like, what he was trying to evoke from the kids was 99, if not more, correct. I agreed with it, but it was the way his delivery came across. It would put me on the defensive, and I would jump in mama bear mode instead of us being united, at least a united front in front of the kids. I was a big wild card in what he was trying to do. And I am so sad I didn't recognize it at the time, but I could have made it a lot easier.
And after many visits with you, Liz, that has changed, we had an issue where the boy who moved out said, it really wasn't that bad. I think I can move back in. And Heidi, and I'm sitting across from Heidi going, oh God, here we go. And she's like, I know you'll figure things out on your own. Things will work out the way they're supposed to be. You're in the place where you're supposed to be. And I went, oh, all that therapy and everything really worked out. And all that communication really worked out. We're finally on the same page.
Yeah.
So, same page. Good for you. Take some time to get on the same page. Well, I acknowledge your accountability, both of you, and your vulnerability. Thank you for being so honest.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And really what you're talking about is actually fairly normal. From the research, suggests that there's time, kind of the honeymoon period is pretty short with remarriages and step families, but especially with teenagers, kind of just this pushing back, which developmentally, right, they're meant to actually push against the rules, and parents are meant to kind of, you know, hold those rules and those boundaries. So this is a real treat for us, Mike and Heidi, for you to join us. Now, as you look back even on your time together, remind me, how long now have you been together? When were you married?
We've been married over five years
in August, but we've been together eight years.
Okay.
Yeah. So in that time, can you walk us through, I guess what led up to leading to, you know, reaching out to Liz? What were some of those struggles, or even some of those blind spots, if that makes sense, as you understand them today?
Well, we were each other's blind spots. I mean, we were each other's problems. I mean, we were not working together. We were working almost against each other at times. Yeah. And I think that's kind of where we went to Liz to try and find the tools. We were very open. Relationship had gone pretty much over. Mm-hmm. Communication had stopped. It was, we had kids fighting us. We were fighting each other. We couldn't get on the same plane. And I think we were each our blind spots. We didn't have the tools to work together. We knew we loved each other, but we just didn't have those tools to work together, you know?
Yeah. Life had just become nonstop chaos.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Yeah. At home.
No, it was pretty much over. I mean, it was.
Definitely
over. And then Liz stepped in and started working on things and diving deep into where the issues are, and then started pulling things and giving us the tools that we needed to kind of work with each other. And kind of a, mm-hmm. you know, I remember her saying, you know, time out, you know, use when things get bad and you're, you know, spitting out words that you can't put back into the toothpaste, container tube. And, you know, say time out. Luckily, we haven't used that in years. But after visiting her, it was multiple times a week where it's like, time out. And I'm, you know, I think Matt Townsend said, you have the one person who's the aggressor. What is it? The follower. The one who follows and chases the other person around until they get to.
Because they want that resolution right now. And the other person, which would be me, which would just shut down completely.
Yeah. And that simple tool of timeout, like, I mean, it solved so many future problems, but then it allowed us to really work on where the blind spots were, see where we were each failing, see what the other person wanted. I mean, Liz would sit there and say, do you know what Heidi wants? I'm like, yes, I do. And she'd be like, have you asked her? I'm like, yes, I have. And she's like, how about you ask her right now? And I'd be like, I'm good. Thanks. You know? But when taking that time to really work on each other, I think it saved our marriage. I mean, for sure. So.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It seems like marriage counseling really is. It really is a self-improvement process, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. More than even just working on our marriage, it was starting with working on ourselves. Because we were at a point where we're just pointing the fingers at each other. It's like, these are 50 horrible things about this person. This is why this isn't working. And I'm sure he had a list of 50 or more in my direction too, but it just really started with a lot of self-reflection and, you know, being able to be brutally honest with yourself and just kind of building and working from there.
What was the darkest time, do you think, guys? I mean, we've been together for a fair amount of time. What would you say is the darkest? I have my thought about what might you say, but I'm not quite sure what you would say. And how did you stay motivated? What was the dark? I mean, it was different for both of you.
Right before we found you, I mean, that was pretty much the darkest time as far as like marriage was not working. We were literally ready to file for divorce. I mean, I already contacted my attorney who gave me your number. That was pretty much the darkest time. He's like, well, if you think you're going to work on it, I've got the best, you know, marriage therapist, you know, and that's pretty much the darkest time for us. I mean, it was done. I mean, it was ready to start filing. I already given the attorney a retainer. So,
was there a final straw? Was there a final straw, Mike and Heidi, when you just said,
I know. I think, well, knowing now, we just quit trying to even communicate with each other because whenever we did interact, it was just combative. And so, this is one of my biggest regrets, but I just started talking to someone else who was very interested in listening and commiserating with what I was going through. And that's something I always wish I could take back the hurt that I caused Mike with that choice and going outside of our marriage. But in a really weird way, I think that was one of the catalysts that actually ended up saving our marriage ultimately.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it brought us to you to where we could actually stop that carousel going around and around of chaos. You know, we could just stop that world from spinning and say, all right, let's reground. Let's do this. Let's make commitments to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you would send us home with homework every single week. I mean, I think some of our sessions went to 4 or 5 hours. I mean, it wasn't normal. It wasn't normal therapy. I'm sitting there counting like, man, that's getting expensive, right? But at the same time, every hour, these weren't 50-minute sessions, right? Where you go in, you sit down, get comfortable. This was like, hey, let's really fix and repair things. Let's deep dive into it. And it's the same journey I've taken, you know, afterwards, you know, working on me, you know, I've continued to work on me, which I think things have even gotten better for me looking at myself. I think same with Heidi. Mm-hmm. But together also our marriage is stronger. It's almost like high school again. But that was kind of the straw. That was kind of the thing that led us towards you. It was kind of, but I don't want to look at it as a negative thing. I want to look at it as a positive that it brought us stronger together. So you can look
like
at it.
It was a wake up call.
It was a total wake up call. Yeah, for sure. Like it was an absolute.
You were very effective during that. You separated for a bit, as I remember.
We did.
And you were both incredibly effective. You both worked so hard on your individual selves. I just was impressed. I give you all the credit.
Well, I mean, we separated only after I would say probably 6 months of more struggling and stuff like that, and trying to figure out with, you know, one child at home that was kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It was just still causing chaos in the relationship. We're doing all this hard work and there's still just that one little thing here that's interfering interfering in our relationship, stifling the growth, you know, whatever. But, and once we separated, I think, and it was, as you called, a controlled separation, no talking to attorneys, no moving money, nothing like that. It was, you know, hey, let's just live in separate places and date each other. I think that actually just took it to that next level for us. And I think, I'm not going to speak for you, but you, I mean, when we removed a certain part of our relationship, which is one of the children, and worked on us, it made my love grow stronger. Mm-hmm. You can speak to it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think the controlled separation gave us that physical separation, of course. And when you're just there by yourself, you have nothing but time to work on yourself and really think and process and understand, you know, there are a lot of amazing things about this person that made me fall in love with them in the first place. Like, how did we end up here? And so it was really a learning experience, and read every book you recommended and did a lot of, like I said, self-reflection and growth, and thought, wow, he's not crazy and I'm not okay. Like, this is both of us, you know, we both contributed equally, good and bad, towards this relationship. And this is something that I definitely don't want to lose.
You're open to those blind spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we learned more about ourselves, I think, doing it. I mean, it was, as you know, I wasn't happy about it because I want to lose Heidi, but it was one of those things that was like, okay, let's give this a shot if this works. And, you know, mm-hmm. I just wanted a specific time frame because it was like, it was super frustrating to me, but I think in the end, looking back, it was probably the best thing because like Heidi would come over to the house, we'd do dinner, we were dating again, and then all of a sudden she'd leave. And I was like, well, this sucks. Like this is not what I signed up for. When I'm married, I'm married. Like, this is my partner. And I think for us now, we take it even more serious. Like, we have date nights. We, hey, do you want to go to dinner? It's not like, what's for dinner? Well, we know we do what's for dinner 5 times a week, but we do have the date nights where it's like, hey, let's go grab something. Let's go do this. Hey, would you like me to make your favorite meal? We still date each other, which mm-hmm. which I think is comes out of that whole separation thing.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Well, let's dive right in.
Yeah, man, this is, it's so fun to just hear this kind of this progression as you visited with Liz, and we're learning and growing through this process. There are certain, I don't know if there's communication skills or things that you do that keep things going, because as you know, like it will naturally drift apart if it doesn't take much, right, to kind of fall back into old patterns. So I guess my question is, are there things that you actively, you know, consciously have learned through the therapy, or that you've decided, hey, this is where we're going to do this or that consistently to stay on track?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know for me, one of the things I struggled with was even just using my voice and communicating what I needed, what I wanted, how I felt. I very much was the type would just shut down as soon as there was the hint of conflict or disagreement, and just learning to find my voice and actually be able to talk to Mike, because he's not a mind reader. You know, he's very smart. I call him my Superman, but he can't read my mind. And just for him, not having to assume what it is I'm angry about or what I need or, you know, how I'm feeling, I think it's been huge. It's not a big guessing game. But also we do things too, and this was like a tool Liz taught us. So some of the things seem so simple, but they're so effective, is, you know, maybe once a week or every couple of weeks, we sit down and one of us will just say, hey, so how do you think we're doing on a scale of 1 to 10? And we'll wait, you know, and Mike might say, oh, I think we're doing about 8.5. I'm like, okay, well, what could I do differently that would make it a 10? And so we kind of just check in with each other frequently to just kind of get their idea of where they're at and, you know, what maybe we can work on to make things even better.
Yeah. And it's not the time to unload. It's the time to be constructive. Like, hey, I don't appreciate you doing this, but in order to be a 10, can you, you know, change this, make it a little adjustment. It's not like, hey, well, it's a slight tweaks. Hey, this is where I'm a 9 this week. Everything's great. Appreciate it. And then also give the appreciation. I appreciate you doing, you know, you doing this. I appreciate that also. And I think it opens up communication for us. Mm-hmm. Matt Townsend gave us a suggestion every day, write 3 things in a book that we love about each other or love about the other person. So it's just a book that sits on our kitchen counter. And we just, you know, it just sits over the pen, and it's not every day, but you know, and then you get to read what that person likes about you. I think when things end, we forget, we get to be so bitter and we forget about all the positive things. So when you need positive reinforcement, you go back and like, oh, she still thinks I'm the funniest. Oh, she still, you know, loves this about me. Oh, she loves it when I make the bed or make her coffee. Or, I mean, you can just go into that book and see the little things, because sometimes we get so discouraged. It's like, I don't think she loves me. I think she hates me. I think, you know, her friends are more important, or, you know, my going shooting or hanging out with my friends is more important, or golfing or whatever the heck it is. You know, it's just, I think the book is positive, you know, reinforcement to where we are. So for us, it's been communication for sure. Go for it.
And also, not just what we love about the person, but even what we appreciate, because I think a lot of our problem too is things went unsaid. So, you know, Mike, he was such a hard worker, so ambitious. He provided such a great life for us. We go on amazing trips. And I think a lot of times I feel the appreciation, but I don't necessarily verbalize it to him, or I tell other people. And so just even as simple as in the little notebook, I just write down, you know, hey, I appreciate the kind of grandpa you are to our grandkids, or how hard you work for our family, or just even little things that are easily taken for granted. And so if I fail to verbally communicate it to him, hopefully he can read that in there and understand, well, you know, that I do recognize everything that he does.
I think it goes back to that whole thing, Liz, where you talked about like, hey, do you know what she needs? And then, you know, it was like, hey, we want safety, and I want safety, I want security, so on and so forth. So we still meet every quarter, just did it a couple of days ago, go over balance sheet where we are. So she knows where we're, because we're both, you know, retired. And so she wants to know where the security is. Hey, this is the things we're doing. I talk more about like, hey, we, you know, like last week we bought 2 homes and a lot in Texas. Okay, this is what we're doing. We're moving stuff from here to there. So she feels secure and knows it's like what I say is actually for real. And it's like, hey, I and we went through and it's the same thing. I wanted to be appreciated for what I do and what I brought to this relationship. So I'll get a text. Hey, I appreciate you working with Colton and Kira and helping him with finding a job or getting him work or doing this or, you know, mentoring the son-in-laws that we have. So those kind of skills have definitely helped. And they're still carrying on. It's not like we just didn't, hey, everything's fixed. We're still continuing to do the work, which I think is super important.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Therapy has, I mean, you have continued past therapy, you know, doing the seminars and continuing your men's group. And I love hearing that and the things you're doing, Heidi, and building your family and those connections. You know, what role did forgiveness play along the way? In the process, Mike and Heidi, and what helped you let go of that hurt and resentment when the other person was there, Mike, and that had gone really south for you? How did you get over that?
Well, I had to figure out what was most important to me. You know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. You know, you go through all that stuff. I think it was the love for each other that we had for each other that was the most important. And looking towards the future, you can always look backwards. I don't drive my car in the rearview mirror. I drive through the front windshield, right? So where does my best future look like? But it also took a lot of work sitting down with you, you know, for hours, you know, every week, a couple times a week individually, to try and figure out what I wanted. But I think it took what I needed and being forgiving, but also moving forward and saying, what do I want? Right. And no one's perfect. We all make mistakes. So it's kind of super important to forgive, but also work on where the issue was and then move forward past it, continuing the work.
Right, for me. That's the key, it seems like. Heidi, what about forgiveness? The forgiveness you needed to provide Mike?
For me? I mean,
for Heidi. Heidi, what about forgiveness on your end? How did you work through that? Forgiving the divide in your family.
Mm-hmm. I think it just came down to something really simple you taught us. And it was just that we need to put each other first. Like this relationship, in order to have a healthy relationship for our kids, for the grandkids, everybody, because they really need this to be solid. And for a long time, it wasn't. And just understanding, I just come into an understanding of Mike and not getting hung up on how I didn't like his delivery, but really looking at the roots of the messages and looking at what he actually was willing to do showed me just how much he actually did care and how much he loved not just me, but the kids and everybody. And it just made me really understand and see him and what his true motivations were. And I'll tell you, the hardest thing for me as far as forgiveness was forgiving myself. Because I beat myself up a lot about a lot of the choices I made. And to have this man still feel the pain from that and go through all of this and still look at me and can tell me that he loves me, even at my absolute worst, it's hard to swallow. It's hard to accept.
You're your worst critic.
Like, yeah.
You beat yourself up over it. If I'm ready to move on and you're still not, I mean, it's mm-hmm. one of those things you have to work on, but you're your worst critic as far as
absolutely
everything goes. So
I agree with that.
You make such a good point because you know me best, you meaning my partner, mm-hmm. right? You know me best. You see me at my worst and you are still here. You still choose me. You know me and you still love me. I don't think it gets any better than that, Heidi. I get it.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
And it just, that was huge thing to
she'd always question
allow that. Myself to be okay with.
She'd question, why are you still here? Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, why would you want to still be here? And that's the thing where, like I said, that book comes into play, like, hey, oh wait, I must be participating in this relationship bigger than I really know that I am or that I think that I am. You know, it's like when we write notes to each other, we check in. It's like, it's just a reminder that's super important for us.
Mm-hmm. Curious, Mike and Heidi, what do you have advice? What advice do you have for other couples? Maybe it's a blended family, step family, a remarriage or someone that's really struggling before they get to that darkest, you know, point. Looking back, do you have advice? I know that there's couples listening right now who are maybe just the beginning stages of this, or they're wondering, should I call it quits? I need some help. What advice do each of you have?
You know, one thing I can say, and this is something else I learned from Liz, is I think it was in one of our individual sessions, because this isn't my first marriage to Mike. She was pretty honest with this. And at the time it rubbed me the wrong way, but it rubbed me the wrong way because it was exactly what I needed to hear. But she made some kind of a comment like, well, because we were at a crossroads, Mike and I, and it was like, well, what are you going to do, Heidi? You know, you've got two, you're at a crossroads. You can either go right and you're, who knows what your life is going to look like, or you can go left. And she said, but what I can tell you is whatever skills or things you don't learn how to resolve in this marriage, I promise you, you will have these same issues in a next relationship. And at the time I thought, wow, that's kind of harsh. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. But after processing it, I was like, yep, it made me mad because she was spot on. And I just decided that, you know, with this person that I know loves me so much, you know, I want to figure this out. I want to learn this. I want to work through it, and not just for myself, but I want to work through it with this person. And so for me, that was one piece of advice is, you know, if you don't learn from your past, you're doomed to repeat it. And this was definitely a worthwhile relationship. And I reminded myself of the million reasons I fell in love with him to begin with. And that person is still here, still sitting right next to me. So
faults and all. You know, I think it's one of those things that a lot of times, and you know, what does Matt Townsend say? Oh, my partner's crazy. It's not me, right? And it's like, wait a second. Sometimes we need to look towards ourselves and see what accountability we have in the chaos, right? So a blended family. Okay, well, where was my role in this? Where was Heidi's role in this? And I think a lot of times people get to the point where you're creating so much friction and chaos that you're the communication that you might say something, but that other person's not hearing it. And I think going to therapy, getting the tools, reading the books, listening to the podcast, could we have found Gottman on our own? Maybe, I don't know, but reading the books and listening to podcasts and stuff like that have helped us. I think taking it to the next level was me joining a men's group and like really deep diving into myself and seeing what other issues, traumas I might have from childhood and, you know, dealing with my parents and how's that carrying over into this relationship. And, you know, I mean, Liz, we dealt with that with, you know, just the way I was raised, how strict I was raised, and everything was black and white. You know, maybe that's not maybe, it was carrying over into other parts of our relationship, blending it. So I think, you know, therapy, looking towards ourselves, seeing what role we play in it, and then communication with the partner. I mean, the communication has to be there. I mean, it has to, if this person's my best friend, I have to be able to communicate like I would with anyone else, right? And we'll tell them everything and ask them anything. Ask them for feedback. Hey, how am I doing? What can I change? What do you need? And I think those are the skills we learned definitely working with Liz.
And honestly, with the level of chaos and, I mean, pick an issue, and I'm sure we dealt with it or struggled with it, you know, throughout our relationship with kids, us, whatever it is. If it's something that we can work through, I think there's literally hope for any couple out there struggling. They're not alone.
If they choose it.
If they choose it and they're willing to do the work. And I'm so grateful. Like, I know I've expressed to Liz more than once, but I know for a fact, if we didn't find Liz, we would not be married today. And correct. What a shame. I would have been missing out on this incredible human and my partner. And wow.
Yeah.
And I'm so pleased for you. I give you all the credit.
Yeah. We love to ask each of our guests the question. And it is, what do you think is the key to a stronger marriage connection? Do you guys have thoughts about what it is that, is there something, and maybe one or two things, but is there something that first comes to mind that you feel like, oh, this is what keeps us close, or this is what creates a stronger marriage connection?
I think for me, it's knowing what the other person wants and communicating about it. So like what does Heidi want, and how can we communicate about it? You know, for her, it was safety, feeling safe, right? That was one of the things that we came up with in therapy. And then, you know, how do I work every day to make sure that she feels safe? It's not just one of those things that I think she feels safe. It's talking to her. Hey, is everything still okay? And I think communication is key. We weren't communicating and our relationship was off the rails, right? Not in a good way. But now that we can communicate, I think things are much better. And it'll be, you know, hey, it's not you. I'm just dealing with some things. I just need some time. Okay, great. Checking in. And that, for me, that's kind of where it's at for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, communication for sure is key. And like Mike said, just really, truly talking to this partner of yours to get an understanding of what they need and what you can do to fulfill those needs. Because I think a lot of times we assume we know, but unless we really talk, we don't understand, because there's probably a lot of things I think early on we were surprised about. You know, we thought we knew what the other person wanted. And what was interesting is probably at our worst moments, we recognized a lot of the things that we were wanting and needing. We both wanted and needed the same, really similar things, but we weren't getting it from each other, which was, I thought, pretty interesting.
No, we weren't communicating what we wanted, so.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Wow.
You did want the same things, didn't you? We just didn't know how to go about hearing each other and making that match. Well, congratulations, Mike and Heidi.
I was going to say, we just didn't have the tools. We just didn't know where to look for them. We were afraid to look for them. I don't know. We didn't have the tools.
Yeah, we all have those blind spots, don't we?
Yeah.
And, you know, you asked earlier, Dave, about just advice, you know, what they give other couples. What advice were you two getting? Can we just ask that kind of as we wrap up? What advice were you getting? Were people saying, oh, you guys can work it out, or you should divorce? Were you getting all kinds of messages?
Depends on who you asked or who you listened to. We were getting all types of messages. We had people say, I don't know why you're putting up with this for this long. This is ridiculous. You guys should have broken up a long time ago. And then we'd have other voices like Liz and some other people in our lives that'd be like, I see something here. You just need to learn how to work through it. And it just came to us making a conscious decision of, this is worthwhile. We truly do love each other and we need to figure this out.
Yeah, I think that's about where it was. I mean, it was just work. I mean, I think when we separated, you were pretty clear. Hey, if anyone asks anything, thank you. Thank them. Mm-hmm. We've got it handled. We appreciate it. We appreciate your love and supporting us and the journey that we're working on, kind of a deal. So that's kind of where we put the outside voices, you know, after meeting you.
I forgot we even talked about that. You do have quite a memory. It brings back all kinds of.
We did the work, Liz. Come on. It wasn't like we just.
Not really. I just provided the time and the place. But I forgot that we had pretty extensive sessions and often on a Sunday, because I think that's when we could meet. I came from church and came down from Park City. And
it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 6 o'clock. And then, you know, we'd go grab dinner or something like that and download
before. Less.
So
hard. And it was so worth it. What a beautiful turnaround you two have established. And we know how much courage it takes, as well as commitment, vulnerability, and determination. Good for you, Heidi and Mike. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, Mike and Heidi, this has been a pleasure. I think I just want to emphasize one more thing to our listeners, that this theme that has continued to come up, and that is the work, putting in the work. And I think even before the work is humility, being open and recognizing that I need to work. Because without humility and recognizing in ourselves, you know, too often we blame. We point the finger and says, oh, work. They need to work. This one needs to work. But each of you talked about where, and humility comes to mind. Maybe we didn't say it, but it really I can see each of you with the humility saying, I need to work first on myself before we could then work on the relationship. So, I don't know. That just stood out to me as a common thread through the things that you guys have discussed. Any thoughts on humility and the work that each of you put in before we wrap up?
Starts with us. I mean, it started with us making changes individually. It started with me making changes individually. and continuing to work. I mean, it's a constant process. I mean, I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. I'm not the same person I'll be in 5 years. We won't be the same couple we were 5 years ago. We won't be the same couple in 5 years. So it's always changing and adapting.
Yeah. And it just comes to a decision you decide to make on your own. And it was even for me, like even outside of my husband here, am I happy with the person I am right now? And the answer was no. And so it was a lot of self-reflection and work and reading and therapy to get to a place where I can be happy with myself. Because you also want to give your best self to your partner, too. And it's hard to do that when you're not in that place. So it was just absolutely it starts with you. And you might be right. There might be 50 things about your partner that you hate, but there are also probably that many about yourself. And it's like, take a step back and look inward and see what you find.
Wow. It's powerful. Yeah. A stronger marriage connection takes work, and you have demonstrated that work. So thanks for your example. Thanks again for joining us today, Mike and Heidi.
And Dave, you know what? Now they have a stronger family connection. Oh. They have all these children now wanting to be with them. You know what I mean? Wanting to come back. After some separation and divide, they're all coming home.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And there was a point where we didn't think that would be reality.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, thanks so much. And thanks, my friends, for tuning in to another episode of Stronger Marriage Connection. We will see you next time.
That's right. And remember, it's the small, simple changes that create a stronger marriage connection and family connection. Take care now.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.